As I mentioned at the beginning of the service, the third Sunday in Advent, typically Rejoice Sunday, as we hear from St. Paul. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. And the text for our sermon this morning also we hear comes from the Gospel. When Jesus says to those who are surrounded by Him, specifically the messenger sent from John, verse 23, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Blessed is the one who's not offended by me. God uses everything in your life for good, so that you would call out to Christ and seek the gospel. We hear that today is precisely what John the Baptist does as a model of faith for us, pointing us to Christ. John the Baptist, you remember last week, we heard that fruits of repentance grow best in the wilderness. Well, now, John himself is in his own wilderness. He is not far from the city, but he is in the city now. He is arrested and sitting in jail. It's not because John has done anything wrong that he's in prison, if you remember. John is in prison because he's done everything he's supposed to do. John preached repentance to King Herod. John is in prison awaiting his beheading because he's been faithful, because he's done exactly what God wanted him to do. And God is using his suffering even then to strengthen his faith. In fact, this is why John's head will be cut off, because he doesn't give up the faith. He stays the course. He continues to preach, and so he's killed. If you remember the details, John is arrested and he's beheaded because of his preaching on marriage against Herod's adultery. Herod wanted to marry his brother's wife. Herod did not want to repent. God desired Herod to repent, but Herod refused. Herod loved his sin more than Christ. Let that not be so among us. God demanded Herod to not marry his wife, his brother's wife. But instead of repenting and believing the preaching of John, Herod wanted to silence the accusation of God's law. He wanted to quiet it down. So you can only shut a prophet up in one way: kill him. Herod tries to silence God's law by having John done away with. How dare John accuse the royalty, the ruling class, of sin? John's preaching, though, hit its target, or should I say, God's word hit its target and pricked Herod's conscience. It touched Herod's conscience, God's word, and Herod did not want to have it. This is the clash between the world, our unbelieving, sinful flesh, and whenever God calls us to repent. The world cannot accept the fact that humanity is sinful, that we cannot save ourselves. So when God's word comes, either from the mouth of John the Baptist or from our lips, the world will try to silence us. Jesus warns that the world will hate us, but he says, take heart. They only hate you because you come from Christ, and the world has hated him first. And we also must hate. We must hate our sin. We must remember the story of John the Baptist and Herod. We must hate our sin and remember that God uses all things in our life for our good, so that we would desire to hear the gospel and forgiveness. Instead of hearing the gospel to silence the accusations of the law, Herod wants to shut up God's mouthpiece. John the Baptist today, he asks Jesus, "Are you the one to come, or should we wait for another?" It appears as if John himself is starting to doubt. But you see the difference between John and Herod. While Herod wanted to shut up God's word, John desires to hear the gospel. He desires to hear about Jesus. Are you the one who is to come? Or should we wait for another? What did he expect Jesus to say, John? Did he expect Jesus to say, "Yes, and in the loaf of bread I sent you, there's a key to your cell door. There's a lock pick hidden in the birthday cake I sent you." Perhaps John wanted Jesus to acknowledge all that he'd done. Perhaps John wanted Jesus to acknowledge how unfair life had treated John. What did John want Jesus to say? Well, Jesus couldn't lie. He couldn't tell John, "Oh yes, wait for another. Sorry I let you down. I'm not the one." Did he want Jesus to confess that Jesus was indeed actually powerless against the evil forces of this world? That Herod's will was greater than his? No. Jesus had to confess the truth of who he was. And Jesus confessed the truth in an interesting way. Jesus points to all the things that he was doing. He is giving John exactly what he needs in his time of suffering. He preaches to him the gospel. He says, "Tell John what you've seen and heard. Blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. Blessed is the one who's not offended by me." Jesus is breaking John out of his prison, the greater prison of doubt and sin. Because Jesus is preaching the gospel. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, greater than Herod's power. St. Paul reminds us, faith comes by hearing. And so, John sits in prison. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. John sits in prison because him sitting in prison serves a greater purpose. It serves at sustaining his faith in his time of need. We can learn from this text a very good lesson that John could be doubting. The one that Jesus said, "There is no other greater one born from women." And yet here we see John is just like you and I. He doubts. Or perhaps he was doubting. I mean, who wouldn't have? Here's John sitting in prison for doing exactly what he's supposed to do. Here he is rotting in prison for preaching the truth while Herod sits in his palace eating, drinking, and being merry. In fact, you could say Herod was drowning in his sin. But remember, John the Baptist didn't follow Christ because Christ promised him an easy life. Yet we can all agree, I would say, that if we were God, if we were Jesus in this situation, we may have done it different. I know I would have busted John out of prison. Herod would have fallen out of a window, landed on some rocks, and he would have died a miserable death. But no, God is not like us. In the face of evil, it is true that God can stop it, and we often wonder why he doesn't. We want to know why. Why doesn't God take away my suffering? Why doesn't God save us from anguish and sadness? Well, the fact of the matter is that he has. He has given us a promise that Jesus Christ is the one who saves us. And He has. This is what Jesus does with John the Baptist in a time when we certainly would have doubted. Jesus certainly could have broke him out of jail by a freak earthquake, but He doesn't. And when John's disciples, when they come, what does Jesus point them to? Jesus preaches Himself. He preaches the gospel because that's what we need to hear. He points John and his disciples to the only thing that can comfort us when we don't understand life. It is the promise of Jesus. For it is only the works of Jesus that will endure and be available to us when we see our sins and wickedness, when we are in our own jail cell, whatever that suffering might be. God uses everything in your life for good, so that you would call out to Christ and seek the gospel. The reason we might be offended at Jesus and why many Christians stumble is because the answer to our problem of suffering is not a why, but a who. The answer to our suffering is not to end the suffering, but that our faith would be strengthened. Because you see, in a time of doubt, we should look to where God shows Himself. Because in suffering, God indeed, I think we could say, is hidden. But here on the cross, this is why this is the answer to our suffering. Because here, God is revealed fully. Here, God was with no defense. He gave Himself no answer. Even His Father was silent. He was there to be mocked, and He was there to be offended by. He was there set up for folks to be offended by Him. He had nothing to hide. He makes no excuse. He doesn't demand God give an answer, but He commends Himself finally to His Father's care. He acknowledges the suffering, my God, why have You forsaken Me? But yet He stays the course. Because there He was your sin. There we see God does take away all of our suffering and our death because Jesus is raised. The very reason Jesus was suffering did not hold Him, our sins. Death, it could not hold Him. So now we see why He can promise us, even in our suffering, we will persevere if we keep the faith. We want to know why in a time of suffering, so that things would make sense. But knowledge doesn't save us. Jesus does. And that's God's answer to all of our problems, the cross of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who is not offended at Me. Blessed is the one who's not offended that repentance and hearing the gospel is the answer to our why. Faith comes by hearing. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Blessed is the one who's not offended at this. So Jesus tells John who He is. But in telling John who He is, He's also telling you who He is. Jesus is the end of your sin. Jesus is the end of our sins against one another. Jesus is the end of sin's reign over your body. Jesus is the end of your sin. Sin's invasion into our body, death and sadness and suffering, even at the hands of others, is the evidence that sin has infected our world and our lives. Jesus doesn't make any excuses. He takes it all. Jesus, why don't You heal me? Or why are things so difficult for those people, the innocent ones who are suffering? Well, Jesus doesn't make an excuse. He claims all sin and injustice as his own. Jesus ultimately takes the fall for all sins, even the sins that you think bring you happiness, even the sins that you think are fun. As offensive as your sins are to God, he still takes them. This is why we can rejoice. Blessed is the one who is not offended at me. Because Jesus will do offensive things, he will let wickedness rule our world. He will let you sin. He will let you suffer. And he will call you to repent. He will let you be defeated. But the most offensive in all of the eyes of the world that Jesus does for you is he forgives you from your sins. He lets you off free from all of your sins. And that, in the eyes of the world, is the most offensive thing of all. That the guilty go free. You who have doubted God are set free in Christ. You are the sinner forgiven, released from all your doubts and fears. This is true for you today, my friends, but it's also true for you when God might have you sit in that prison cell with John just a little while longer. But what is this short amount of suffering compared to an eternal happiness? God uses everything in life for your good so that you would call out to Christ and seek the gospel. And what if John would have given up the faith? He would have sacrificed eternity for a little reprieve in prison. He would have gained the approval of Herod. But then what would that have gotten him? But he didn't. John the Baptist didn't give up because Christ's answer strengthened his faith. John heard the true freedom of the gospel, that Christ would even forgive his doubts. John now knows that it was all worth it. The suffering was short. In whatever ways God calls you to endure under suffering, you too will someday look back and know that it was all worth it. That is nothing compared to the joy of knowing and being with Christ. Whatever your calling in life is, children, listening to your parents, you'll look back instead of rebelling, and that little amount of suffering you had, you would say, it was worth it to listen. Parents, sacrificing your time for your children instead of for yourself, you'll look back and say it was worth it. Standing steadfast in the truth of the gospel, you may suffer, but you will look back, and with perfect sight in the resurrection, you will say it was worth it. Bringing up the gospel to a complete stranger. What a better time now when the whole world is focused on Christmas. And they see that there is suffering and it's not the most joyous time for many people. What a wonderful opportunity to bring up the gospel to a complete stranger. We'll look back, whatever scorn or laughter we might endure, we'll look back and say it was all worth it. Talking to people about Jesus, we're so fearful. And yet even that fear is forgiven. The scorn is only a blip on the radar. John was arrested, his head cut off. But now John stands with God while Herod laments and suffers in hell. It's not because God wanted Herod in hell, but because Herod loved his sin more than Christ. So do not love your sin, but confess it. Hear the gospel and rejoice. For your Savior comes to help you through the gospel, through his word and sacrament. You are not locked up in prison. You have the freedom to hear and receive this Jesus to strengthen you in your daily walk. That same Holy Spirit that comforted John in prison comes to you, not to make you acceptable to the world, but to make you, well, like Jonah was to the whale, to make you unappetizing, so that the world and our flesh would finally spit us out and we see our glory. The gospel strengthens you not so you can make excuses, but to make new your hope, to renew a right spirit within you, so that we may say, cast me not from thy presence, but renew in us a clean heart, the baptismal promise of forgiveness. So even in all sorrows, we Christians, we rejoice. Joy is confidence that God is taking care of things. Joy doesn't leave us content with this life, but content to hear the gospel, to have the power and the promise of the forgiveness of our sins. God uses everything in your life for good, so that you would call out to Christ and seek the gospel. Blessed is the one who is not offended at this. May the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.